It's been an interesting week on the global landscape, with markets waking up to news at the beginning of the week that Saudi Arabian oil installations were hit by drones and damaged over the weekend, with some 50% of output shut down temporarily. The trade talks seem to be moving in an orderly fashion, while investors are apprehensive about economic growth going forward. And that was solidified today by an OECD report, which has downwardly revised global growth to 2.9% for this year, compared to their earlier estimate of 3.2% a few months ago. And of course, the US Fed realized market expectations of a 25 basis point cut in interest rates yesterday. Well, to look at some of these themes, I'm joined on the line by Lukman Otunuga. He's a senior research analyst at FXTM. Thanks very much for joining us, Lukman. So, of course, yesterday the US Fed Reserve made their decision. The market had pretty much anticipated that they would cut interest rates by 25 basis points. Your thoughts?
Yeah, as we can see, as widely expected, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates by 25 basis points. But that wasn't really the focus in the mind of many investors. Everyone was looking at the vote split, the dot plot, and if Jerome Powell will offer clues or insight to further rate cuts, and markets were disappointed. The Federal Reserve is deeply divided. Some of the Fed policymakers believe that it's right to cut interest rates, while others are on the fence, and some are even thinking, some are on the fence. At the same time, when we look at economic data from the United States, it's painted a mixed picture. So my conclusion to this is that the Fed is not really data dependent, but it's more Trump and trade dependent, meaning that any future rate cuts in the future will be heavily dependent on the developments of the US-China trade fund and Donald Trump.
Isn't that going to dent their credibility if they do it like that?
Unfortunately, yes. That's one of the topics many people are talking about. Like yesterday, the Fed did not bend to Donald Trump's pressure, but as time goes on, especially if Donald Trump escalates US-China trade developments, this could inadvertently force the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates to support the US economy.
And of course, we've heard from the OECD that they reckon that global economic growth will slow down, and they're pinning it largely on the US-China trade war.
Yeah, so I've got to say that this has actually added to the market gloom. And what is surprising is that if you look at global markets today, it almost seems that everyone's ignoring this. The OECD have actually said that global growth has been downgraded, that their forecast is 2.9% this year and 3% in 2020. And this is slightly mirroring what the IMF is saying about 3.2% in 2019. This is very serious, and it just shows that as long as US-China trade developments remain a major theme, everyone is going to get hit.
Yeah. And what about the Bank of England? They were due to make a decision on interest rates today. What happened there?
It was so boring. If I didn't know that today was the Bank of England policy meeting, looking at the pound's action, it looked like nothing happened at all. It was a non-event. You know, it was quite unanimous. Policymakers said they're going to leave rates unchanged, as we saw. But what I found really interesting is, it's going back to what I said of the Fed, I think that in the UK, any rate cuts will be dependent on Brexit developments, because it's quite weird that even though they even downgraded growth for third quarter of 2019 from 0.3% to 0.2%, but still they're refusing to join the global easing train. So my conclusion to this is, it depends on what happens on October the 31st. And if we do have an extension, then the Bank of England may simply sit on their hands until there's more clarity on Brexit in 2020.
We know that obviously there's a lot of concern around what's going to happen with the oil price, although Saudi Arabia has reassured us that they're going to be on track by the end of the month in terms of full capacity. What's happening with the oil price right now, and do you expect volatility going forward? Because, of course, there's the other layer that there could be some conflict in the Middle East.
Yes, it's been an explosively volatile week for oil, and I believe volatility is going to be the name of the game moving forward. Yes, Saudi Arabia have said that by the end of September, everything's going to be back online, but we have to keep in mind that a lot of damage was done from Monday. We're talking about almost 5.7 million barrels a day from the markets, which was roughly 5% of global supplies. And the other side of the equation to this is geopolitical risk. So even though the kingdom has fixed this development right now, what is stopping another attack in the future? And this is something that's going to be on the mind of many investors. So I don't think oil prices are out of the woods right now. Oil bulls are still in control due to the fact that geopolitical risk is another theme, and the dynamics influencing oil have shifted from supply side factors to demand side.
Yeah. Do you think a Saudi Aramco IPO later on, maybe sometime later this year, is really hanging in the balance because people will be wondering whether they should invest in something that could be attacked any time?
Yeah, this is something that I'll be paying very close attention to, and it all depends on what message the kingdom brings forward. I think there is a sense of relief, the fact that they're saying that supplies are going to be back in full effect at the end of September. So investors will be seeing if the nation is able to continue sending that positive message and if tensions do not re-escalate.
So with a little bit of risk off on the market, what are we seeing in terms of the gold price?
Gold is another one which is, how could I word this? I would have expected more from gold. You know, it's all about the 1,500 level. There's just something magic about this level. With all this explosive volatility, uncertainty, you know, central banks, even the fact that the Fed cut interest rates yesterday, this is all good news for gold, but it's not being reflected in a precious metals valuation. And my conclusion to this is I think the next directional catalyst gold is waiting for could be those high-level trade talks in October. So until then, gold is likely to trade in that range of 1,500, acting as a very important psychological level.
If the trade talks end up, happily ever after, could gold go all the way back down to $1,400?
Yeah, because the trade, U.S.-China trade developments have been a major theme driving markets. And if you go back to what the OECD actually said, they said that it's the U.S.-China trade developments that is, dragging on global growth, weighing on the policy outlook, sapping risk sentiment. So naturally, if we remove this out of the equation and there is a happily ever after, that risk on will make a return to vengeance. Safe haven assets will be down in the dumps and it will be risk on all the way.
That was Lukman Otunuga. He's a senior research analyst at FXTM.